Good evening, good morning, probably for most of you. Welcome back
Late.
To.
I'm tired and I'm locked in the bunker.
Then, should we just end the show right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this is our Championship Week video notebook, day number 8. Yes, David?
Keep going. I forgot something.
Okay. David's gone. Thankfully. I'm Chad Sherwood, maybe joined by David Griggs, definitely joined by John Stilicho, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org. This is where we go over all the games from today in Championship Week and in all of the, or Championship Fortnite, I think we started calling it. And we will preview tomorrow night's games. We'll update you on the survival board. We've got a little trivia contest at the end of the show. Let's get right into things, though. We normally start with news and notes. I don't know that we have any. John, any news and notes from the day?
About the closest you're going to get is, what is it? I think the coach from Marist being let go. But then you also had Maine, who also apparently made a coaching change within the span of 24 hours. But I don't even have the names in front of me at the moment.
I have returned. Part of the news and notes.
Like,
I'm not going to say what went wrong, but those are very nice headphones you have there, Chad.
Oh, thank you. David now on his headphones, apparently, but maybe he doesn't. Let's get right into the conference tournaments because it is, I don't know, some ungodly hour at the moment, and I'm already half asleep here. It was championship night in the Metro Atlantic tonight, and Rocco, we saw Iona lay a hurting on Fairfield.
They did, yeah. They got off to a nice start, and then they went cold, stopped playing defense. Iona not necessarily known for their defense, and Fairfield got it tight for a little bit, but then Iona pulled back away in the second half. And sure enough, like we said yesterday, Fairfield made sense on paper, but Iona just knows how to win this tournament. Why I doubted Tim Kloos, I don't know why, but here we go again.
Yeah, Iona has done something incredible. They won this tournament without beating anyone that was that finished in the top five.
Yeah, Manhattan was the highest team they played.
Yeah.
They beat Manhattan, St. Peter's, and then Fairfield. But once again, Iona back in the field. And Stilicho, I'm just going to put Iona in for next year's conference back champion as well. It's just, you know, done with it. You know, why bother?
Right.
Well, at this point, you want to put him in as a 14. You want to put him as a 15.
Oh, I think their ceiling is a 15.
Yeah, we did our bracket rundown show earlier tonight. I had them as the top 16 seed. I think that they probably move on to the 15 line because there'll be a few upsets somewhere along the way. But that's the best team is going to be, I think. We had two conference championships, though. David, the other one was in the SoCon, where it really wasn't the game that we thought we'd get either, was as UNC Greensboro took care of East Tennessee State.
Yeah, no, both teams kind of sluggish on offense, which isn't something we're used to seeing out of either one of them, but it was kind of just a sluggish day. I don't know if that's symptomatic of it being the third game in 30 days, but Greensboro kind of had an easier time with this game than they may have their previous two.
Yeah, Rocco, how dangerous is this Greensboro team? Can they win in the tournament?
I think Greensboro will probably land on the 14, maybe 13 line. Their RPI is up to 65. So, you know, with three seeds look pretty strong at this moment. I don't know if they're good enough to beat one of those teams, but if they get up to a 13, they could definitely hang with a 4. You know, everybody that's looked at their profile is aware that they won at NC State. That was a little bit before NC State got hot and became a tournament caliber team, but still looks really impressive and helped get them up to 65th RPI. So I think the Spartans will be competitive and definitely could make things interesting in the tournament.
Certainly not the best shooting nights as far as East Tennessee State goes, because I think they were, 3 of 17 from outside?
Well, let's get right to – so we have two more teams that did lock in their bids tonight, Iona, UNC, Greensboro. Greensboro the first time since 2001, so congrats to the Spartans getting – back to the Big Dance for the first time in a long time. But let's get to the game that we just watching here, West Coast Conference. It was semifinal night. Right before we came on the air, I actually just ended about 20 seconds ago here.
Yeah.
BYU just knocked off St. Mary's, David, and now we've got a lot of issues that come up because of this upset. Let's start with the number one issue, which is, can the Gaels even make the tournament as an at-large bid?
I still think more likely than not, although I know a lot of people on our panel, including some of the experts, were saying that the committee may not take them. There's certainly grounds not to take them. I mean, if you pull up their profile, one of the phrases we heard during the earlier podcast was intent to schedule. St. Mary's did not do that. I don't think when you look at their schedule, you were thinking, well, these teams could have been tournament teams had it not been for injuries. Their schedule was atrocious. So that's going to work against them. And really, they have one really big monster win against a likely protected seed or a potential protected seed on the road. And that's it. They've done nothing else. They lost to Wazoo. They had a couple games that were just to teams outside the tournament by about 1,000 miles. And is that Gonzaga game enough to carry them all the way in? Because that's really all there is.
Yeah, Rocco, let me just run some numbers off here. Gonzaga won quadrant one win. It was at Gonzaga. I'm sorry, St. Mary's won quadrant one win. It was at Gonzaga. Two tier three losses at San Francisco and against Washington State. They've got strength of schedule, non-conference strength of schedule 185. They've got, on the other hand, they do have 11 road wins, true road wins, but most of those coming against some lousy teams. Five of those are tier four road wins. So what do you do? Do you leave them out? Do you put them in?
Yeah, I think at this point it's not looking too good for the Gaels. The one thing that they can really keep their fingers crossed about is if the committee takes the predictive metrics into account more than I'm anticipating them to. Their average predictive metric on the team sheet is 28, which, you know, if they look at that the same way they did the RPI, in theory, would maybe keep them inside the bubble. But they just dropped down to 43rd on the RPI. Their average is probably in the high 40s for results-based. And I think the way that the procedures and policies are written for seeding and selection, this would probably put them out, and especially given all the variables ahead of us with the major conference tournaments. A mid-major team with only one tournament-level win, RPI 43 in the past, wouldn't be able to get in. So I would have to say no.
And John, the other issue that this whole game brings up here is the championship game tomorrow after Gonzaga completely destroyed San Francisco. We have a shot now that BYU could win tomorrow and sit and send the bracketologist nightmare of having to try to put BYU into the bracket into play here. But what do you think about the championship game? Does BYU have a shot against the Zags?
They do have a shot. I mean, this was also the first time in about 4 years that Gonzaga actually got the regular season sweep of BYU. So I think we've said it in years past. It's hard to beat a decent team three times, and BYU, they do have 23 wins of their own, but as far as other wins of note that BYU has this year, Utah Valley and Utah, that's pretty much it.
Nah, yeah, they're not going to be very high ranked, but it's, you know, I guess, David, do you think BYU pulls an upset, or I'm on the Zags. I think the Zags.
I'm on the Zags too, but I'm not ruling it out. it could happen. BYU could win this.
Rocco?
I'm on the same page as the puppet. I don't expect it, but I wouldn't be incredibly shocked just because they have that track record against the Gonzaga Bulldogs with these two same coaches. So, you know, it's a one game winner take all scenario. I could definitely see BYU coming up with a great game plan and frustrating Gonzaga to the point where they can pull it off. But, they play 10 times. Gonzaga probably wins 9. So chances are Gonzaga will find, you know, take this down. So
Well, Gonzaga's already won 2 of those 10 times this season.
Yeah. So one of these times BYU will win.
was all semifinal day today in the Colonial where we saw – two rather unexciting games as college as a top two seed, Charleston and Northeastern just got themselves ready for the championship game in almost warm-ups today.
Yeah, Bill and Murray was in that game for about 30 minutes. College of Charleston didn't kind of pull away until late, but Wilmington was in the game from the tip-off to maybe the under 16.
Under 16 seconds into the game? Or
yeah. Northeastern is on a rampage, not just in this tournament, but going back through much of the latter part of the regular season. Just playing really, really well, so much so that I think they get it done tomorrow, even in North Charleston.
I took Charleston before the tournament. I'm going to stick with them, but I do agree with you that Northeastern was very impressive today, albeit against a 20-loss Wilmington team.
Yeah.
Rocco, you want to change your pick or going to stick with Charleston?
I'll stick with Charleston, but it's interesting. I think Charleston does some things to Northeastern defensively that they're not used to seeing. They couldn't get into the 70s where Northeastern likes to be either time they played. And the last loss that Northeastern had was at home to Charleston, a 5-point loss in the 60s. Since then, the Huskies have won 9 straight. But again, they've gotten through with just playing the 7 and 6 seed in this tournament. And a lot of those wins outside of William & Mary and the win streak weren't against teams as good as Charleston. And then, of course, we've got the factor that the game's in Charleston. So, yes, I'll stick with Charleston, but should be a really competitive game. And if it stays in the 60s or below, Charleston should definitely win.
John, I'm going to give you 2 really exciting games that we had today in the Summit League.
Oh. Yesterday we talked about what a great tournament this has been dating back for years. And, of course – Look at what happened.
It was just 2 dominations. Actually, when we saw the games last night, there were 2 games that looked like they were heading this way by halftime and then got close and were great finishes. Did not go that way tonight. They just – both South Dakota schools won. Setting up a battle in Sioux Falls tomorrow, John, between South Dakota State. The Coyotes there looking for their first ever NCAA tournament against the Jackrabbits.
Yeah, South Dakota will be looking for their first bid, but as we saw last year, South Dakota State seemed to have the bigger of the 2 fan bases, and they did split during the regular season, but I think South Dakota State did have their wake-up call after their scare against Western Illinois, so I do not see the Jackrabbits being appended in this one.
Yeah, and David, I think I'd agree with him. You agree also. I think South Dakota State is just a better team. And
yeah, I think so. I think, that's how I feel. Although it would be fun to see them get a little bit of revenge. But I'm looking forward to this one. Both games, both regular season games were kind of fun. This one could be too.
Rock, one last set of semifinals tonight in the Horizon League, where it started off with – yes, that's a 44-43 game.
Well, that's the way Coach Felton, wants to win games. It worked out well for him. So, Cleveland State, wow. They've won 3 games in this tournament now. I was kidding when they said he wants to win in the 40s. The last game they had 89 against Northern Kentucky. So they literally scored less than half the amount of points they scored in the game before. Maybe that's just a sign of them playing 3 games in 4 days, but great story. Kudos to them. They played well down the stretch. They finished the regular season winning 3 out of 5, including against Illinois Chicago, which was a good team at one point. and Wright State, that's a team they beat on February 1st. So they split with them. Both games were single digits. I expect a pretty good final.
And John, what do you say? Why not? Why not Cleveland State? Let's go all the way.
Yeah, you almost kind of wish that Cleveland State could pull a repeat of 2008 and play, a second game within a 24-hour span. Wright State didn't exactly look like Picasso in trying to put away Milwaukee either, because there were like so many missed shots, it seemed, that were within the paint. So they better not be wasting those opportunities against the Cleveland State that once again has shown they can beat the Raiders, as Rocco noted.
Yeah, a real poor shooting night for Wright State. And this is a game where, I know they lost twice during the season. But it was still a game that you were kind of expecting them to win rather easily, and it was just a rock fight.
One thing I will say about the Horizon League tournament, while we do have the 2 seed playing the 8 seed in the championship game, it's actually an improvement off of last year when it was the 4 seed versus the 10. So, they're getting it a little bit better here.
Yeah, there was something, like I said earlier on the, I guess it was on the call or the email thread, there is something very Detroitish about both semifinal games tonight. Just ugly, ugly games.
And if Cleveland State has to go to Dayton, that's not too big of a problem. They'll get a lot of fans out there.
Yeah.
Let's go over to the Mid-America Conference, where it was first-round day today, 4 first-round games. And while Miami-Ohio kind of took care of Ohio in that game, all 3 other games were exciting. A buzzer-beater for Kent State, a last-second win for Akron, which was an upset, and overtime game between Central and Bowling Green. David, what starts? I'll let you go.
We were talking yesterday how much we love this tournament, and it's off to an incredible start. I think Kent State stormed the court. I couldn't tell, which is how awesome is that, storming the court against Northern Illinois. But it was a dramatic finish. All these games were really dramatic, but the Akron Western Michigan was really good too, and Akron moves on. I still like Eastern Michigan to do really well. Even as early as the quarterfinals, we have some really compelling games. Ball State, Kent State should be good. All of them really are going to be good games. It's just a fun conference.
Rocco, do you want to change your pick for who's winning this tournament based on today's results, or leave it alone?
No, I'm looking at more of the teams that had the buys, but Miami, Ohio, they play really well at home, and you know, they're one of the Ohio teams that will get some good fan support to go to Cleveland for the rest of the tournament. So that could be a really good game against Toledo. And I think Kent State, Ball State will really get after each other. They've got a couple players. Kent State's got a guy, his name's slipping, number 23, that likes to instigate a lot. And then you got Taylor Parsons for Ball State. I can see a fight breaking out in that Ball State-Kent State.
Yeah.
That should be a fun. I think this will be a fun tournament from here on out.
It was fun today.
It's a fun league to watch.
Yeah.
All right. Over in the MEAC today, we saw two of the first round games.
We did.
We saw
one of the first round games. Sort of.
The late game, Norfolk State and Maryland Eastern Shore, was 3/4 of the game was technical difficulties. They finally did get the video up at the last 10 minutes or so of the game.
I found out what happened, Chad. They fired the cameraman and needed to go get another one.
Well, that's what happened in the first game, actually. That game went overtime between A&T and Delaware State. Surprisingly, Delaware State, one of the worst teams in D1 all season long, forced A&T to overtime, was down 1 with 3 seconds left. You're watching the game, inbound to the ball, and the camera just stays on the guy that threw the inbound pass. Apparently, there was some type of collision and fouls down at the other end, but then the clock got run out because there was another inbounds pass. We never saw any of it because the cameraman, I guess he did get fired and he was just gone.
Yeah, he went to take a dump and just quit working the camera, I guess. But at the end of the day, you gotta go.
Well, I guess we did find out it was A&T did beat Delaware State. Norfolk State did win. So we got the two favorites do match up on Thursday in a quarterfinal. David, I have a little bit of news here. Because they have 2 days off, Norfolk State is going to be going back home in between for the next 2 days and before they come back for the next game.
Yeah.
Back home to Norfolk.
Oh, that's good. Yes. I've stole your thunder because the one thing that upsets me about this tournament is look at the number of opening round games we have. How many is it?
They're missing
the opportunity for a quintuple header. Quintuple headers are amazing. The Big East did it a couple years in a row, and it was the best thing ever. It's 5 games, 1 session. And this conference has the ability to do it, and they choose not to.
Well, you throw in the women's games, and it's actually a sextuple header, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, they can move the women's game. They could play the women's game somewhere else.
John, we got three more first-round games coming up tomorrow. Howard, Florida A&M, South Carolina State, Morgan State, Coppin State, NC Central. Do you see an upset?
Well, I called it last night, and I think Howard will probably win to set up a potential upset bid against Hampton the following night. But as far as the following day, I could see, Coppin State giving NC Central a little bit of trouble, but I do think Central and Morgan both win their openers.
Rocco, you agree with him?
Does Morgan State have suspensions from the brawl?
They do.
They do.
Yeah.
Is out for just that first game. If they get by it, he'll be back for the Bookman game.
That makes me a little skeptical. I know Morgan State's probably a better team than South Carolina State, but watch out for that. And then, otherwise I agree with John.
All right. That's it for the games that were played today, but let's take a little bit of a preview of some of the games coming up tomorrow that from other conferences. And one of the championships tomorrow, one of our favorite conferences, David, LAU Brooklyn at Wagner, Northeast Conference Championship game. What are you
right
looking forward to?
Right there in New York City. I mean, we just had a tournament in New York. The Big Ten is kind of a warm-up for this, but this is the real show.
This is the real show as opposed to something that's going to be going on in Brooklyn also, but this is the real one in Staten Island here.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just New York's the place to be if you want real college basketball. And I think this one should be fun. It'll be this tournament. Well, this league, you always get great atmospheres at the games, especially like the New York-based teams. And this is what we have here. But this one should be exceptionally fun. But on the court, I just think Wagner's better, and they're at home. I don't think the Blackbirds can stay with them.
I agree with you. I think Wagner's going to take this one. But Rocco, it is also semifinal day tomorrow on campus sites as well in the America East. Stony Brook at Vermont in a real interesting game. Hartford at UMBC, maybe.
Yeah, UMBC Hartford. Good luck predicting that game. I'm gonna guess Hartford can pull off the upset because it just seems like a game where you expect the unexpected. And UMBC, I thought for a while was gonna lose to Massachusetts Lowell, so I'm still kind of recovering from that experience. So I'll go with Hartford, Stony Brook came out and really took it to Albany, and that was surprising. I wasn't expecting that. So maybe they'll. And Vermont, you know, was sluggish in their back-to-back Maine games. You know, they closed the season with Maine, and then they had to play them again, and both of them were way more interesting than we all thought. So maybe Stony Brook makes it interesting, but in the end, I'll say it's a Vermont-Hartford rematch from the only loss Vermont suffered during the America East Conference play.
Something to think about here, Chad, well, just everybody. If Stony Brook wins tomorrow and Hartford wins tomorrow, then the championship game is in Hartford. And you just got to, like, would that be the most meaningful basketball game played in the state of Connecticut in the last 2.5 years?
You could be right.
Well, there were some one-game playoffs at Yale in that time frame, were there?
No, there weren't. playoffs were at the Palestra.
A couple other conferences that are starting play, and let's go back to New York City. Brooklyn for the ACC tournament, the third most important tournament, maybe behind the Big Ten and the Northeast Conference, at least second in New York. But it is first round day starting at noon tomorrow with Boston College, Georgia Tech, followed by Notre Dame, Pitt, the nightcap of Syracuse, Wake Forest. Let's start with those three games, John. First of all, do you see anything crazy happening in those three games tomorrow?
Well, I think one of our favorite statistics of Kevin Stallings having more ACC tournament wins than Syracuse is probably going to come to an end after tomorrow night. But if Wake somehow pulls the upset, what's Boeheim's excuse going to be this year, considering how he's railed about the tournament in years past being played in Greensboro? But that said, I do think Boston College is going to finally get an ACC tournament win for the first time in a few seasons.
I agree with that, but to David, I think that Boeheim is going to be making excuses. I think Wake wins tomorrow.
Do you really? Wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, he'll need to if they win. One of the issues about this tournament is just the ladder format. I mean, I just wish they would just go and have one opening round. That would be, I think, 7 opening round games. And you could play 2 on, I guess, Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, you could replay the remaining 5. 5 games, Chad. We could have a quintuple header. I mean, and it would just be an amazing, much better tournament.
As far as the rest of this tournament goes, really interesting. You see North Carolina as a 6th seed, despite the fact that they're in contention for a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament. Yeah. Just the way that some of the tiebreakers played out. But Rocco, who wins this event? This is going to be a hell of a tournament once we get past the opening round.
It is. It is. And, of course, the 4 teams with double byes have a big advantage. I'm actually doing the write-up for my website right now on this. And I think Syracuse, you know, especially in the first 3 days, holds all the cards. They're either going to choke to Wake Forest, as you predicted. But with it being in Brooklyn and with what Syracuse has done in past bubble experiences back in the Big East, you know, they could go on a roll and get all the way to the semis or even the final. And knock off a Carolina on day 2. So we'll see if that 2-3 zone's ready to go on a little run, or if it's all gonna be done in 1 day. But I do like Duke to bounce back and recover from a couple of upsets down the stretch to eventually win the tournament. And I'm gonna take Duke to win it over a surprising NC State team that takes out Clemson and Virginia on the way.
Wow. Well, that will certainly get KC State inside the bubble.
I'm going Carolina to win it, and Carolina to do it by beating Miami, Duke, Virginia, and really make a 1 seed case. That's where I'm going.
Yeah, yeah. And if they do that, they're going to be in there.
John,
I think we may be seeing a scenario similar to the Big 12, where Virginia has a tougher quarterfinal than they do a semifinal, especially if Louisville wins tomorrow night. But it's hard to see Virginia being denied after going 17-1 in the ACC. But as far as who would face him in that title game, I'm probably going to say Virginia Tech could pull off a couple shockers before losing to Virginia in the title game.
All right. David, you want to pull?
Give me your picks. I kind of like NC. It's hard to say. I like the way North Carolina's been playing. I know that they lost at Duke after a rough second half, but outside of that, I just think they've really kicked it into gear. I could see them going deep, but I don't know. I could also see them going out to Miami. So it's hard to say.
Well, let's go over to another conference, because kick things off tomorrow is the Big Sky. 4 first round games. North Dakota, Montana State, Northern Colorado, Northern Arizona, Idaho State, Southern Utah, Portland State, Sac State. Rocco, is there anything worth watching tomorrow?
Portland State, Sac State like to get after each other. They're travel partners, and Sac State took them out earlier this year, so that could be a fun game. And I think Montana State, North Dakota, this is North Dakota's last year in the Big Sky. Montana State is a traditional Big Sky program for many years. So there could be some interesting, something interesting happening if that's a tight game like it should be.
Who do you have winning this?
I have Montana beating Eastern in the final, but watch out for the Sherwoods.
And watch out for that Idaho team there, David. You going with my buddies at the Sherwoods?
No, I'm going with Montana.
John, how about you? You're taking Idaho with me, right?
Yep, but after watching the entertaining Northern Colorado opener on 5:30 for tomorrow.
Yeah, it's just you kind of hate, like, this league, you know, with 12 teams. If they had one more, we could have 5 opening round games. A quintuple header.
David, we got one more conference hit still here. Quickie off things with the quarterfinal games. There it is, the SWAC tournament, the 9-team bracket that includes the Grambling getting the bye into the finals. But let's talk about tomorrow's quarterfinals, which We have not yet confirmed that these are on campus sites, so the streaming is up to the schools. I've only confirmed so far that Prairie View is streaming. We'll probably get streams on the other three as well. So check out the school website.
God, good job, Swack. Interesting. I mean, you have Texas Southern, one of the schools that we were big coming in, that we thought would pull off the miracle, but of losing every out of conference game and winning every conference game. But they were kind of disappointing this season. But don't be surprised if they do well in this tournament or even win it.
I think they will win this tournament. I agree with you there. I think we're going to have a big upset tomorrow, though. John, I think Mississippi Valley is going to take out Pine Bluff.
It doesn't seem to be too far-fetched because Pine Bluff has was a very pedestrian, actually going 12-6 in the SWAC. They did sweep Mississippi Valley, but I do think Valley had also knocked off one or two big wigs in the SWAC of their own. So
definitely went over Grambling late. Rocco, Mississippi Valley actually playing really well heading into this tournament for an 8 seed.
Watch out for the Delta Devils. There's been upsets all year long in this league, so I don't think anybody should be surprised by anything. We could have an 8-7 in the final. Be perfectly normal. I'm going to go with a team that's only made the NCAA tournament once to win this tournament, and the last time they made it, it's the 20-year anniversary for Prairie View A&M, and the last time they were in the NCAAs, they lost 110-52, so I'm also going to predict that they lose by less than 58 when they get in this year.
I actually want to change my pick. I'm going with Grambling. I think they will win that one game playoff at the end. That's
right. Well, the shame of it's interesting that they went with this format where Grambling buys all the way in the championship, because the shame of it is, with 9 teams, you could have just gone to Houston. You could have had one opening round game in the morning and then played all 4 quarterfinal games after that, and we could have had a quintuple header. 5 games, 1.
I heard part of the deal with Grambling getting a bye all the way to the final is their band has to play at halftime of every other game to keep everybody interested.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at the survival board. Possibly if I can get up on the screen. Into play today, there were 233 teams left with a shot to win the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
Make the field. Let's start by doing an update here. How many teams were left after today's action? And 218. So we lost another pile of teams. We're getting close to that 200 number there, David.
Yeah, it's ticking away. I think we might hit it tomorrow or definitely the next day. It's going to get busier and busier, but hard to believe the number of teams that have been eliminated. It just goes really quick. There's Radford with their automatic bid, Michigan with theirs. You see Bold in all caps, those are the automatic bids. Bolds are the teams that are in, regardless of even if they miss the bus to the game, the committee will still take them. Teams in italics – wait, why isn't Nebraska bolded?
It must be a mistake. I'll correct it later.
Okay, because Nebraska's in. And so the italicized teams are teams that are under consideration. Everybody else, and that is the vast majority, probably over 150 of the remaining teams are in regular type. They need the automatic bids to get in.
Yeah, teams like you look and you'll see in Ole Miss, or you'll see like a Boise State Jerry Palm that is in regular type. They should not be on anybody's board. They should not be considered for anything unless they get an automatic bid.
Right.
We look down here, West Coast Conference, we got 3 teams alive. Gonzaga, no matter what happens tomorrow, is in. St. Mary's is seriously on the bubble. We don't know. The committee should seriously have discussed them, but they may or may not be in. BYU better win tomorrow.
Yep.
Let's pull that down, and that's it for our show tonight, David, right?
No, I'm getting out of the box. Chad, these questions are really crappy. These are stupid trivia questions here.
Yes, we have our trivia contest going.
Well, here's the thing. I've gotten every question right, but you keep saying that I'm wrong.
For those that have been watching the show, David is locked in the puppet bunker, just like Joe Lenardi's in his bracket bunker.
No, nothing like Joe Lenardi's not in a bunker. And he's not having to answer questions, and he's not being told he's wrong when he answers them correctly.
Oh, Bill Walton says he's wrong all the time.
Bill Walton needs to come on our show.
I agree with Bill Walton. He does seem to have some ostrich-like tendencies. He does need to get his head out of... Oh, never mind.
David, the way it is I've got a trivia question here. I'm going to read the question. Our panel of experts has come up with the correct answer, which is in the envelope. If you can tell us what the panel of experts came up with as a correct answer, you get out of the puppet.
No, bunker. I can tell you the correct answer. Who knows what the Rocco panel of experts can tell.
So let me throw it out to them first and then see what they say. Rocco and John, here's tonight's question. It says, we were just talking about Bill Walton. What former UCLA coach won 7 straight national championships between 1967 and 1973?
Well, that's pretty obvious. There's many tournaments named after him. There's an award named after him. The most iconic coach ever in college basketball, maybe in all of sports, it's John Wooden. That's the answer.
John Wooden?
Yes, that's the answer.
Okay. Well, I mean, just to reveal
this,
it?
This time, surely your guys knew this.
All right, let's take a look here. You say that the answer was John Wooden. What yes. UCLA coach won 7 straight national championships? The answer is... Bill Walton,
no,
of course.
Bill Walton was a player. He wasn't even a coach. He was never a coach.
You got clued in on this one. You couldn't even get it right.
Who are your experts, Chad? Like, who are these people that are coming up with these answers? These are not the right answers.
How else
blatantly wrong?
The conference of champions? Because he coached all the champions, right, Rocco?
This is...
Rocco agrees.
That is just categorically wrong. I mean, we're losing credibility because of your experts that come up with these answers.
I mean, Bill Walton was the genius behind it all. Yes, of course. Thank
you. Bill Walton was absolutely the genius behind it all. That's why he knows everything. Why he's absolutely correct that the Pac-12 will have 9 to 10 teams in the field this year.
Bill Walton is like someone's. Bill Walton is like someone who ate too many shrooms and went to a Dead concert. John,
that's Wooden. Exactly who Bill Walton is, I think.
Bill Walton doesn't even think. Well, maybe he does think he coached those teams. No, I don't know.
I guess let's go through any final thoughts. John, you have any final thoughts for the night?
Yeah, I think we had hinted on it earlier as far as the MAC tournament goes. You have to be very tempted to take Miami as a possible upset bid, considering that Toledo has started to fall off the table a little bit in recent weeks.
All right. Rocco.
Yeah, I'm going to revisit the Summit League championship game coming up tomorrow. I think it's going to be one of the best championship games we see the entire week, maybe even for the entire fortnight. And I think I think the Coyotes team, by the panel here and by most of the country, is being underestimated. This is finally their chance to beat their rival and get into the tournament for the first time as a program. If you watch the game, the season finale, they played each other at South Dakota State. South Dakota led with 5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Had about a 72% chance of winning if you look at the KenPom graph, I'll send it to you later. And I have a feeling, just going with my gut, that the Coyotes are going to find a way to win this thing in overtime tomorrow. But it's going to be a classic game, I think.
It's going to be great. It's going to be. I'm excited about it. So, and you're right. Like, I mean, South Dakota led for a good portion of that game. I knew they led late into the game. I didn't remember how late, but that one's going to be fun. Just like we said yesterday about how fun today's semifinals would be.
David, do you have any other final thoughts?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, I actually have one other final thought.
I just want to get out of the bumper now.
Myself here, because we were just showing that SWAC bracket with that interesting format of one of the teams buying into the championship game. That's actually not the first tournament that has used that format. I'm going to pull it right up on the screen here. This was our very own AC8 tournament from last year, which initiated that team buys into the final while 8 other teams play off format. So the SWAC actually taking our format from last year. Unfortunately, these games – got canceled when our boat sank, but that's another story.
Is this who's coming up with the trivia questions, Chad? The people that organized this tournament and decided to play in that boat?
David, the news I want to give is that we have been approved for another AC8 tournament. Next couple of nights, we'll have our playing court for you and everything, but there will be a 2018 AC8 tournament sponsored by us here at HoopsHD.com, so keep your eyes out for that. After the field is announced for the NCAA, we will be announcing our AC8 tournament. Very excited, aren't you?
Yeah.
So how much will tickets be for the seats that are on that bridge?
I don't know. We're playing in China, and UCLA is invited.
That was last year's playing site. We have a new playing site this year. Don't worry. That one had a little bit of technical problems to it, so we had to cancel the games. But keep an eye out for that in the next few days here also. But on behalf of David Griggs, Rocco Miller, John Slica, I'm Chad Sherwood. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night with another Video Notebook.